Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
We are in Parashat Chayei Sarah. And this Parsha is a very interesting Parsha, like all the Parshiot, but one of the very interesting things in Chayei Sarah is the way that the age of Sarah Imenu is being described. And by the way, a lot of people don't notice that it's not only Sarah Imenu is being described like this, also Avram Avinu. Which is showing us also that they were an unbelievable couple. They were really got to the level of being one. And this is why when we say, what is chesed shelemet? What is chesed? What is the true chesed? So the Midrash says that rodef chesed is bachir. Who is somebody who is chasing chesed? Is Avram Avinu. And how do we learn this? From the burial of Sarah Imenu. And this is very strange.
And the burial
of his wife, Sarah. And this is very strange, because do you know anybody that wouldn't do it? And you will call him a tzaddik because he buried his wife, Chas v'Shalom? But this is a tzaddik? Somebody died? Of course you have to bury him, especially if it's your wife or your husband or your parents or your children or even somebody else. If you have the... What is such a tzaddik here? But when we understand, what is the idea of chesed shel emet? What is a true chesed? A true chesed is a chesed that there are no benefits. In other words, you do something for the good, and you've got nothing out of it. And this is quite difficult, and I'll explain why. Because we're not talking here only about benefit of money, of favors, also you feel it. You know, if you do something good, you feel good. So you have a benefit. So there is only one option, or let's say one episode when you don't have any pleasure and any benefit, and this is when you unfortunately have to bury somebody you love. This is a thing that you are in a state of sadness and definitely not happy. And this is when we can see if the chesed you do is a chesed shel emet. And Avram Avinu, when we see the way he deals with the burial of Sarah Imenu, he's got all those wheeling and dealing, and he, no, the offering, you can bury Sarah wherever you want. You are a big shot in our places. There's no problem. They say, Elokim ata betocheinu. Bury her wherever you want. Everybody's going to give you a good place to bury your wife. He says, no, I want this place. Me'arat ha-Machpelah. That's the place I want. That's the only place I want. And he's dealing and willing with this complicated guy, Ephron, and he's paying him a fortune of money, because when we see years later, Yaakov Avinu is buying something with, I think, the tenths or even less than what Avram Avinu bought this small place, which is called Ma'arat HaMachpelah. Like, in order to understand it, he maybe, today, maybe he bought it for $4 million, in order to understand the proportions, yes.
What is, in your opinion, why did Avraham Avinu want to bury Sarah in Ma'arat HaMachpelah?
Mm-hmm.
I've got my opinion.
Ma'arat HaMachpelah is not just called Ma'arat HaMachpelah for nothing. First of all, Adam HaRishon was buried there.
Okay.
So, and this is already the answer. And they say, when Ela Bakar Ratz Avraham, when the visitors came to him to tell him that Sarah is going to have a son next year, he ran to bring them three tanks of cows. So he was running after the bakar. Bakar is cattle. And bakar is, when you change the letters, kever. So he, the Midrash says, he was running after this ox or cow, whatever, and it led him to the grave of Ma'arat HaMachpelah, where Adam HaRishon was buried with his wife. And then he realized, by the way, Ma'arat HaMachpelah is not just Machpelah. What's Machpelah? Kaful, double. What is double? This world and the next world. They say that there was the entrance to the next world. And this is why it is in Hebron. Hebron is Chibur, connection. Hebron, every word's got a meaning. Hebron is the Chibur between this world and the other one. Where is the Chibur exactly? In Ma'arat HaMachpelah. So this is why he understood that he has to put Sarah there. Now, he could do a lot of things. But to do all this willing and dealing while he is not in a state of happiness, not in a state that you've got time, because on one side you have to bury her as quickly as possible, on the other side you want a special place. And this is why Avraham Avinu in this episode, this is Chesed Shel Emet. And yes?
How did Avraham Avinu know that the graves of Adam and Chava were there? In Ruach HaKodesh?
First of all, yes. But they say that he saw a light on the Ma'arat HaMachpelah, and also, you know, he understood that this is not just two people buried, because you see the atmosphere of the Ma'ara. You see, Avraham Avinu is one of the figures that is, from one side, very hard to understand, but from the other side, he's teaching us so much. By the way, on the Kabbalah, Avraham Avinu is the neshama, and Sarah is the body. By the way, but that's another thing. Now, Avraham Avinu discovers God by himself. And then, Avraham Avinu is, I think, the only one who is called Avraham or Avi. I don't think there is anybody else in the whole Bible that is being called my lover, the one who loves me, and this is Avraham Avinu. Because one of the questions is, how is it possible that Avraham Avinu kept the whole Torah, while we didn't receive the Torah? How can you keep the Torah if you didn't get it yet? How did he get to this? It's like parents when they love their children, and sometimes before the child asks something, you know what he's going to ask. And it happens sometimes with couples also. If the love is big enough, you feel each other. It's like you see with twins, sometimes they're in two sides of the world, and they feel what the other one feels. So, take Avraham Avinu, that he got to the greatest level of love that he felt the Kodesh Baruch Hu. In other words, he knew what to do. You didn't have to tell him what to do. He knew what to do because he loved Kodesh Baruch Hu so much that he knew what the Kodesh Baruch Hu wants from him. This is, by the way, a very interesting way to understand also that all the mitzvahs with God, they are not just the way we understand them. They are very deep, and in order to understand it, that there's no mitzvah that's got no reason. Because sometimes we have those mitzvahs, very strange mitzvahs, we don't understand why. We don't know the reason. But you have to understand that there is a reason, and the reason sometimes is so deep that we don't know it. But Avraham Avinu, with his love, he knew what to do. And this is the greatness of Avraham Avinu. Yes.
Perhaps Hashem was directing him because it was an auto.
But in order to have this connection, you need the love. You need, in order to connect between two people, normally it is only if you love them so much that you connect. It's happening. It's not something that we talk, then nobody feels it. Yes, sorry.
Can we also extrapolate on the word Machpelah, Kaful?
Yeah.
That there were four couples married.
Yes, yes.
Kaful.
Yeah.
Because a man and a wife,
Yeah. Also, but this I cannot tell you now before Adam, because it didn't happen yet. Because right now it's only Adam and Eve there. Okay. That's it. So we cannot talk about this reason. Afterwards we can talk about
Nebuah.
It. Yeah. Nebuah. Okay, no problem. Yeah. So now we understand the Avraham Avinu, what is the meaning of Chesed? Chesed is to get to a level that you don't do it because you get something out of it, and not even if you have a joy from it. Because in order to understand who you, it's like, people don't realize, sometimes God tests us. And the test can be a very interesting thing. Like you go on holiday and there is no kosher food, for example. And you're really looking very hard to find kosher food. Or you eat only things that you're allowed to eat. Some people, you know, they do. Okay. And this is where you're being tested. Because now, when God sees that you are really trying very hard, though there is a problem to find kosher food, you are trying very hard to do it, to eat only kosher. So now, you put a price label on the mitzvah. What does it mean? Now, when you live like in a normal place and everything is kosher around you, and it's not a big deal to eat kosher food, and sometimes it's even very tasty. But each time you eat now, the reward you're going to get for it is the same reward as when you were looking very hard for kosher food because there was not there. In other words, God sometimes gives us to put the price tag on what we do. So, it's for example, somebody had to do, say, Kaddish on his father, and he was living, let's say, for example, in Bnei Barak, and he's got Itzkovich near him, you know, wherever you want, they've got a minion. But he had to go abroad, and he got to a place, there was no minion. And he wanted to say Kaddish, he wanted to daven in a minion. So he didn't know what to do, so he tried checking and thing, and then he found out that if he will take a cab in one and a half hour drive, he will find a place where he can daven. And he did it. And when he came home, he told his rabbi what happened to him. He says, you don't even understand what you did. Because you put a price tag on the mitzvah. And now every time you go to Itzkovich, to daven, you get the same reward as when you were going for 1.5 hours to find a minyan. And in life it happens. And this is exactly what we have to understand. When we're talking about chesed, what is chesed? The minute we find ourselves in a place where we do chesed and there is no benefit out of it, but we do it because God told us to do, because we do chesed, then we put a price tag on all the chesed we're doing, and even if it's very easy to do. And talking about very easy to do, for example, this is a famous story about, I think, the Rav Shvadron, that he once went in Jerusalem to his kid got sick, and there was something that's not what is medabek. How do you say medabek? It's contagious. Contagious. So he took the other kids to the grandmother, so they won't get the same illness. And then on the way, he meets one of the neither gedolim, don't remember the name. And he asks him, what are you doing? He says, I'm taking the kids to this. He's asking again, what are you doing? He says, I'm taking the kids to the grandmother. He says, again, what are you doing? He says, I told you. I've got a sick, ill kid at home. And I take the other kids to the grandmother. They won't get the same disease, the same illness. He says, the cow takes the calves to the meadow. He says, what? Sorry? He got insulted. Well, how are you talking about a cow? I'm a cow? He says, no, I want to explain to you. What you're doing now is a mitzvah. Okay, they are your children, so what? You're still doing a mitzvah. You're taking them in order to not get the same disease, which is contagious, and doing a mitzvah, bringing them to your grandmother, to the grandmother. In other words, everything we do can be a mitzvah. So, he's going home, and he sees his wife coming with buckets. At that time, they didn't have running water in the home. They had a well, and he used to get water from there. And he sees his wife with two buckets full with water going home. So, he runs to her, and before that, he thinks, I'm going to do a mitzvah of chesed, helping a woman to carry the buckets of water. By the way, she's also my wife. So what? It's not chesed? It is chesed. And why I'm talking about chesed? This is chesed. Everything is chesed. They tell Abraham Aminu Baba Yamim. What is Baba Yamim? Baba Yamim. Coming in the days. Going in the days. What is Baba Yamim? Like here, he said, with Sarah Imenu, as we said, the description of the years is very strange. Mea shana, ve'esrim shana, ve'sheva shanim, shnei chayei Sarah. And then on top of it, so the Torah is trying to tell us something with Sarah Imenu, with her age, and the same thing, by the way, we'll see is written with Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu also is written the same description. אלה ימי שני חיי אברהם, אשר חי 100 שנה ו-70 שנה ו-5 שנים. The same way it is described with Sarah Imenu. והיו חיי שרה 100 שנה ו-20 שנה ו-7 שנים. So they tell us, the Midrash says that all their years were equal in the good things they did. So what is here? So the Midrash says that Sarah Imenu at the age of 100 didn't sin the same way she didn't sin at the age of 20. And at the age of 20, she was the same as the age of 7 in beauty. Which is very strange, by the way. Because if you're talking about a woman getting to the age where she's, let's say, at the top of her beauty, it's the age of 20 and not the age of 7. Because at 7 she doesn't even know what is beauty. And talking about sin, at the age of 100, who sins at the age of 100? At the age of 100, you've got no, you know, you can get the, no desires, no things. Half of the things, you, even if you want, you cannot do them. But the Midrash, what he says is, it's the opposite. Sarah Imenu, at the age of 20, was regarding sin like the age of 100. Didn't care about sin and didn't sin. Regarding beauty, she was of the age of 7 that you don't even understand what is beauty. And she was behaving this way the whole time. And telling us, this is the greatness of Sarah Imenu. Because Sarah Imenu, the Midrash says she was one of the most beautiful women in the world. So, what is again, Shnei Chayei Sarah, again? Because, okay, we understand. Chayei Sarah, 100 shana, 100 years, 20 years, 7 years, Shnei Chayei Sarah. But you already told us, year, again Shnei Chayei Sarah. Shnei is Shnayim, is two. Talking about Marat HaMachpelah, talking about Olam Hazeh, Olam Haba. There is a famous Midrash, in Midrash Rabbah, that says that Rabbi Akiva was teaching, I don't know if I told you about it, Rabbi Akiva was teaching his students, and they were half asleep, like the young ones. So he wanted to wake them up. So he told them, what sees Sarah Imenu, Esther Amalka, that ruled 127 countries, because of Sarah Imenu, was 127. That's what he said, in order to wake them up. What did he mean? What he meant is very interesting. Because it's very strange. How are you going to wake up from this strange midrash? And what's the connection between Sarah? She was her great child of Sarah Imenu. So what? There were a lot of great childs of Sarah Imenu. And there is a big gap between Sarah and Esther. So what is the connection? The connection is that when we say Eshet Chayil, one of the opinions is that Eshet Chayil was written on Sarah Imenu. And it's written there, Vatakom be'od laila, she got up in the middle of the night, Vatiten teref lebeita v'chok lena'aroteha. Teref lebeita, she brought food to home, and chok, by the way, is also parnoso, and also another word of food. Lena'aroteha. So why is it twice? But what the Torah is trying to tell us is very interesting. What David HaMelech is saying, what Eshet Chayil is telling us, is very interesting. We say that all the years of Sarah were equal. She did good all the years, did mitzvahs all the years. It's impossible. At the age of 3, what mitzvah can you do? At the age of 4, what mitzvah can you do? Nothing. So how is it that all the years were full with mitzvahs? Because when she grown up, she was waking up in the middle of the night and doing mitzvahs for the years she couldn't do mitzvahs. Vatakom be'od laila, she woke up in the middle of the night. Vatiten teref lebeta, she made sure that she brings, provides for now. And chokle na'aruteha, when she was a young girl, when she couldn't do it. So in other words, what is Rabbi Akiva telling the students? You were sleeping in the middle of the day. Sarah Imenu was waking up in the middle of the night in order to learn and to do mitzvahs. And you in the middle of the day are sleeping. There is another thing the Chatam Sofer said. It's very interesting. He says what he was telling them and telling all of us is 127 countries against 127 years. Which means every country is a year. Okay? Now if every country is a year, every month, every country is a state, not a year. It's a whole a land, a whole thing. Now, every year is a state, a country. So every month is a city. And every week is a neighborhood. And every day is, let's say, a building. And every hour is a flat. And every minute is a room. Now, imagine to yourself how you're wasting your time. Because in every minute, you can get a room. And every hour, you can get a flat. And every day, you can get a whole building, a whole thing. So now, understand the importance of time. So now we understand what is Rav Akiva telling his students in order to wake them up. First of all, to tell them, instead of sleeping in the middle of the day, look at Sarah Imenu, that even in the middle of the night she woke up to do good. And you are sleeping in the middle of the day. And then I want you to know how precious time is. You know, sometimes people buy a watch. You know, you have watches for $500,000. And even more. And you know, it's doing the same thing. And sometimes people don't realize they're putting the money in something that is showing them the time that is passing by. Instead of looking at the time that's passing by and using it wisely. How do you use it wisely? That is Baba Yamim. This is what Avraham Avinu is saying, the Torah is saying, Baba Yamim, going in the days. Every day he did good. And this is something we have to learn. We have to try. This story, the Rav Shvadron, is showing us how easy it is. We at least every day must make sure that we do one good thing. At least. And if we do this, this is Baba Yamim. Then when God is going to ask him, what did you do on this day? What do you mean? I helped this guy. I helped this woman. I gave tzedakah. I said tehillim. I did the mitzvah. I did good. This is Baba Yamim. Avraham Avinu is teaching us a very important lesson. That in every day we must put something of chesed. And we see it's quite easy. Because if you think about it, even the smallest thing you do, there are chesed. But you have to think about it. And then there is also a very important lesson here. And this lesson, I went to Eilat. So you see in Eilat, you see sometimes very interesting things, very interesting figures, like strange people. So sometimes you see this guy, he is not young anymore, but he's got this cuckoo behind, and he's got on his nose this, and you look at him, and you know how ridiculous he looks, really, how ridiculous he looks, this guy, and doesn't even realize it. And from the other side, you see those 7-year-old girls walking in the street like, I don't want to say how they walk. They want to look 20. Just now we talked about Sarah Imenu.
Immodest.
Yes, immodest. So, and you're thinking to yourself, you know, how ridiculous it is. And how, no, it's not only improper, it's not not good. It's not only, it's like a joke. You know, this guy who tries to look his age of 70 and he tries to look the age of 20, sorry to tell you, this is a very sad picture. And this is what Avraham Avinu is telling us also. Baba Yamim. In every age you have the beauty of the age. Every age got a beautiful, and it doesn't matter what it is. Some people always think, oh, I wish I was young, I wish I was in the here, I wish I have no worries, no thing. Believe me, you forgot, because you have worries all the time. And it's like you go, imagine to yourself, you see the sand pit, you know, where the kids playing, and you see people at the age of 50, 40, playing with the sand. What would you think? And imagine to yourself that those people are not just normal people. Let's imagine there are professors and scientists. What would you say? Shiga.
No, they didn't have a happy childhood. They're making up now.
Baba Yamim.
And this is exactly Baba Yamim. Some people don't realize, you know, this is not my age. I have to behave according to my age. And it's nothing wrong with it. It's a beautiful thing. Because in every age, you have the beauty. And this is what Avraham Avinu is teaching us. And this is what the Torah is telling us. The age of 100, he behaved like the age of 100. In the age of 70, he behaved like the age of 70. And the age of 70, he behaved like the age of 7. And what God gave him is the power. You know, People don't realize. When I was a young guy, I was looking about old people like, oh, how old they are. I couldn't know how they feel. But you know, the older you get, you feel that my feeling don't change. I don't feel old. In other words, it's all the state of mind. It depends what you do with your life. And just this morning I was talking about it, of Sarah Imenu. The Midrash says she was always happy. Simcha v'sason. That's why Shnei Chaye Sarah. What is Simcha v'sason? How can somebody be always happy? And not happy, Simcha is from the outside and Sason is from the inside. Outside and inside. If we look at the life of Sarah Imenu, I could imagine somebody who is now in a cruise on the Caribbean, having wine, enjoying life, a millionaire, got everything in his life. This is happiness. No, that's not happiness. Sarah Imenu was happy inside and outside. Why? Because she had a reason to live. Because she had a task in life. She had a mission. Her mission and Avraham Avinu's mission was to bring the knowledge of God to the whole world. And this is what they did. In other words, when you have a task, when you have a mission, when you have something to wake up for, you are happy. But if you walk around and you've got nothing, what feeling is this? In other words, sometimes, even if it's difficult, but if you have a task, if you have a mission in life, if you know what you're doing, if you know where you're going, you're happy. While you're doing it, of course. But if somebody doesn't know why he's here and what is he doing here, this is depressing. And you know, sometimes you can go to places, old age homes, and you see two kinds of people. You see those who look at the walls. Really, it's depressing.
Yeah.
And you see, you know, I'll never forget this. Years ago, I saw about this really professor, unbelievable guy. And one day I was going to this old age home, and I saw a figure. It looked familiar. I asked, who is this? Yes, yes, it's this doctor, this and that. He was an unbelievable professor, doctor in his field. He was the best in his field. God took everything from him. But there was another thing. When you go and you see people that are occupied, they've got things to do, they've got a reason to wake up in the morning, they're happy. Especially you see it with those like scholars. You can, Rav Eliashiv, the age of 100. People asked him questions. He was like a young guy. Because the Torah gave him power. In other words, Baba Yamim, if we want to feel young, if we want to feel good with ourselves, if we want to be happy, have a mission. Understand why you're here. And go in this way. And one of the biggest missions in life is be Ishel Chesed. Because the Chesed leads you to all the good things in life. Yes.
Another kind of person.